Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
How we doing, folks? Welcome along another episode of what's it called again?
The Glory Days.
That's it.
Glory Days podcast. That's what it's called.
It feels like it's been so long.
It does.
We did one relatively recently, didn't we?
The only one we've done this year. My God. Well, like I was gone. I was off the radar for so long.
Yeah.
I left you in the lurch. And then as soon as I came back, Jim goes, "Oh, I've got COVID all of a sudden. Oh, I'm sick and all." He goes... and you had to go home for a week. So this is only our second one of the year,
of
which
the
is
year.
Unbelievable, really. Yeah.
I know, and it's mad. And depending on when you're listening to this, well, in fact, by the time you listen to this, it will certainly be April.
It will be. You're right, yeah. Yeah, it will be. Oh, my God. You have me a paranoid wreck. You have me wrecked, you know that. I swear
what
to God.
What did I do?
I'm going to do antigen tests more than I'm going to the ATM at these days. Since you got the COVID virus.
The lurgy.
Since you got the lurgy, I swear to God, and I don't know if it's a placebo or nocebo or whatever, but I'm waking up in the middle of the night going, like an old granny. 2 o'clock of this morning. Two o'clock. 2 o'clock, Jim.
You're obviously really entering into the spirit of it. You're starting to speak like that as well. Yeah. It was about the 2 o'clock.
It was about the 2 o'clock when I heard the noise outside. But 2 o'clock this morning, I was up doing a COVID test, sitting on the edge of my bed because of the coughing and all. Because I'm there going, I can't bring it in. I did 2 COVID tests, not in my sleep.
No wonder they were negative.
Yeah.
I don't know. How did they sort it? I don't know. I had my eyes closed. I couldn't see a thing. I was out cold.
I'll go home now and they're both positive. But I was all paranoid over it. Yeah, yeah. So thankfully it's still coming up clear. I'm all right. I haven't coughed at all now.
You see, and the thing about it is, obviously, like when you get to a certain age.
That's the thing.
Do you know what I mean? Because you're no spring chicken anymore now. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't this what we were saying today? We were only saying this morning now. This will give you an insight into how happy me and Jim are at 5:10 in the morning or 5:50 in the morning. We were both saying, best case scenario now. We're half dead.
Yeah.
We're half the life. Like, if it all goes to plan.
Yeah.
We'll live.
What are you now? 45?
47, 46? I am. In 2 weeks, I'm 47.
Oh, right.
A little
okay.
Over 2 weeks.
So realistically, a good innings. What's it considered a good innings? 80 odd?
I think
80,
men's 80. Average lifespan is, 81 or 2, is it?
I don't know.
Women are slightly more.
Right.
84, I think.
Only 82.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I might have less than...
You know,
I might have less than 30 years.
And
Oh my God.
And let's be honest, I'm not particularly bright. I could electrocute myself at any given fucking moment.
Not to mention the fact that you are carrying with you from the first half, the generally healthy bit of your life.
Yeah.
You're carrying quite a number of ailments.
I am carrying quite a number of ailments. Oh yeah, that's the truth.
Mean, if you do a quick scan, you're talking about your start down below at your dicky feet.
Dicky feet, yeah.
Yeah. Then there's various bits and pieces going on in your legs.
There is.
Some of it's not your own.
There's all sorts of fake bits and
basically
rods kind
of
and all.
PJ is kind of it's like Steptoe and Son nearly from the ankles up. There's various kind of pieces of metal that have been gathered from various.
Yeah, and then you get to the waterworks. And they're
we know what happened there.
Irish water couldn't patch this thing up. You know the way they always talk about that? They always say, it's going to cost the Exchequer 73 billion or something to stop the water leaks and all. I know how they feel. I know how they feel.
Your consultant bills were of a similar size.
Yeah, I think Dublin Corporation are going to have to fix my bits because I go so frequently.
We're okay in the general torso area.
You
didn't have any particular torso issues.
No torso issues.
In fairness, ever since you fell off the wagon, you're doing your best to expand your torso. But
I'm going to be eating scrambled Easter eggs for breakfast. The way things are going. I can't stop myself. I'm totally off the rails at the moment. I'm so far gone.
I think this is great. I'm delighted you're embracing this. It makes me feel so much better. But it's great the way you describe it as completely off the rails. I've lost the run of myself.
Yeah.
And I describe it as normal life.
Oh God, yeah. I've cooked one meal for myself in months now. I haven't done just what I used to cook every meal every day.
Yeah.
Every meal every day. Only the good stuff, I need preferring it and all. And now I'm it just feels like a hassle.
Have you even held a piece of broccoli in the last...
Last night was the first time.
Wow.
Yeah, I did last night.
Oh, the tide is turning.
The tide is hopefully turning
you
for the
better.
You
didn't dip it in chocolate?
No, I would have. If I had a thought, if there was anything around, I would have.
Yeah. Oh, I see you made gravy. That's not gravy. That's melted chocolate. That's going all over me dinner.
Yeah. Isn't it mad when you go off the rails how far off you can go?
Oh.
And then you start doing the thing, like it's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock, Tuesday, lunchtime. And you go in and you say, right, healthy, right, I'm going to get a salad. Or I'm going to get a sandwich. A wrap. Wraps are better. A wrap. I'll get a fucking goat's cheese. Or it's a pesto or whatever. Yeah. Wrap it up. And then you eat it and you go, right, I'll get a Kit Kat. I'll start on Monday. It's only Tuesday. And you've just written off the next 6 days of your life.
I do that all the time. Everything is on a Monday.
Everything's on a Monday.
And as you say, then the slightest thing.
Oh, the like slightest inconvenience.
Week,
yeah.
Last week I was supposed to start. I said I was going to get back into it. I was going to go back to doing a bit of exercise and all that sort of stuff. Actually, as COVID came, and sure, I wouldn't be able. You have to eat your own weight. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't be exercising.
But at least COVID...
Even though, technically, I had no real symptoms. But that's not the point, PJ.
Yeah.
I had the lurgy, and I couldn't be doing exercise and eating healthy enough.
I know, yeah. But, like, at least COVID is a real excuse. Like, I've walked into a post office, and there's three people in front of me, and I go, right, well, I'm not starting that today. If I'm going to be queuing up like this,
yeah, stress levels will be
all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd need a bit of chocolate just to calm you down.
Yeah, and the slightest thing, there's someone, he asks for a black coffee and they accidentally put milk in it, or they give you a cappuccino and you go, right, well, that's this week, fuck. might as well write this week off. I'll start all over again on Monday.
Or God forbid, if anybody else says anything, like if you're, so you've gotten yourself into the frame of mind where you're thinking, right, I have to get this under control now. I'll make dinner when I get home. I'll do meat and veg. I'll do a proper dinner or whatever. And you walk in and they turn around to go to you. Do you want the Chinese? Go on,
shite. Why not? You're right.
And then the beautiful part is, it's not your fault. I mean, I wanted to do it, but she wanted the Chinese.
Yeah, you know, what can you do?
What can you do? I suppose
she always gets what she wants. Yeah, passing the blame. I always know I'm getting fat as well because my ma thinks I look healthy. And I always know that because you know the way you're like, and she'll be looking at me, she goes, you're looking much better now. And then I know that's the day that I've had to loosen the belt again.
Right, yeah.
Or that's the day I ate breakfast and had to open my trousers because I couldn't breathe.
What is it about Irish mummies that want you to be that if you're not eating, you know, like at least twice what you should be eating?
I know.
They're not really happy. He's not well. He's totally off his food.
Yeah.
He's literally just gone through a three course thing and it's only breakfast time.
Normally
he'd have five or six courses.
Yeah, normally he'd eat the whole turkey on his own.
Yeah. Are you not well now? Are you not well?
You're not well. What's wrong?
Are you coming down with something?
You must be worried about something. Are you worried about something?
You're sweating there. That's because I've just eaten 4 pounds of steak.
Yeah, and a half and 2.5 packets of biscuits. I know. Yeah. It's like there's something in them. They want to see you round.
Mind you, did you have that thing when you were like proper fit and healthy, and you like proper went for it? Did you ever have any of that thing of like, you were too skinny then?
Yeah, I did.
What does that mean?
You're like skin and bone.
But you weren't. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Because people used to say to me as well, oh no, sure. Like, and people used to, I remember one lad, Wally, he said to me once, he said, no, I thought you'd gone too far with it. He says, I thought that every time you'd bend down your eyes, it'd fall out.
Yeah. It's all this thing. My ma would be there going, you're too skinny. You don't look well. Yeah. Your trousers are going to fall down around your ankles. Give me all this.
I'll buy smaller trousers. Yeah. Oh, that's not the answer.
That's not the answer. Grow to fit them. My ma still thinks I have growing pains. Like, I'm 40 fucking 7 in 2 weeks and she still thinks I might be growing.
Growing.
She thinks I'm still a nipper, like, you know.
So you, as a middle-aged man, are trying to get yourself out of an armchair and you're like, oh. And she's thinking, poor lad, growing pains.
Growing pains.
Ah, oh, God bless them, they're fantastic.
It's probably rheumatoid arthritis, like, that's kicking in. And she's there.
Oh, no, he suffered terrible with the growing pains right up until he was about, oh my God, he must have been nearly 60.
Yeah, before that, you went,
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Right, listen, we better give you some best bits from during the week. It was a cracking week,
wasn't
it?
Great fun last week.
It was good fun, all right, last week. There was loads going on. It's hard to know where to start, but we randomly selected a few bits and pieces. We were talking at one stage about some of the unluckiest people you can encounter. I think it was actually a Paul Gascoigne story that started us off.
Yeah, Gaza, yeah.
And the unlucky people and how some people really just have more than their fair share of unluck. Yeah. If there is such a thing. Also, PJ gave us a very unique insight into sort of like, what you might call, the bedroom, I won't say bedroom antics, because it's nothing, there's nothing
there's nothing dirty about it.
No. Actually, do you know something? I think we were talking about that clean sheet feeling.
Oh, that's what we were talking about. Yes, that's right.
But then PJ gave us a very very unique insight into how a bed should be made.
Yeah. I'll just, before you listen to it, don't take ever my advice on anything.
Also, during the week as well, we were talking, I know it doesn't sound like it was something to be kind of making fun of, but we ended up talking about funeral etiquette.
Yeah.
Right, now it started on the roads.
Started on the road and then it ended up with speeches and...
And all sorts.
And
general mistakes or whatever. So it was a bizarre kind of conversation, to have to say, in relation to funerals and funeral etiquette, I think is what it was all about. And then the other thing was... we went to the theatre during the week. We had a little insight into, kind of regional accents, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Treading the boards and what's appropriate for certain shows and plays.
Yeah, really. whether the classics can really be done on a local level.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, have a listen. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Are you a believer in this idea that if you get into a freshly... Made. Changed bed.
100%.
So, you know, that time, that first sleep after you've changed the bed, the sheets and stuff.
Yeah, you know the way once a year you'd be doing that. And then you sort of, and you jump into the bed and it's the best sleep you ever have.
Do you reckon?
Oh.
I don't know if I notice it that much.
Oh, I definitely do. 100%
I notice. The clean sheet thing.
The clean sheets and the clean... duvet covers and the pillowcases and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it sets me right off, yeah.
Of course, to get to that stage, you do have to actually wash them.
I know,
And clean them and stuff.
Which is annoying. Really annoying. You know what I mean? And now there's people out there, by the way, who iron their bed sheets. Apparently, actually, there's two types of people in the world. There's the people who iron their bed sheets and put them on the bed, and the type who don't iron them and just put them on the bed. And neither group of people even knows the other group exists.
Wow.
At all. Because this is news to me. I have no idea why anyone would iron a sheet. I have no idea why you would do that.
Or how
you would do it,
How do you get a sheet onto an ironing board?
Well, you know, you'd have to take it out to the local park, would you? And stretch it out. Sort of heat the iron off the car.
Iron it on the car park. Like.
Yeah, I'd like the car park or on the grass on player's lawn or something. Go to the local golf club and use a green.
That must be a nightmare. It must ironing. Be a
I can't imagine why you'd put yourself through that effort, especially one of those fitted sheets.
Are they laundered, like, as in bring them to a laundry kind of thing?
No, this is people who like actually like they like to iron them for some reason. It doesn't really say why.
It's impressive that they can do it.
Yeah,
and as you say, the fitted ones that. She can't even fold
can't
them.
Can't fold them.
Let alone blooming iron them.
You roll them. Everybody anyway, knows you just roll them into a ball and cram them into a...
Exactly.
That's all you do.
And the thing of it is, when you stretch them out to put them on the blooming thing...
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a battle getting them on over the corners.
A battle getting them on, yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd never see... Sure, a crease wouldn't last in it.
Not at all.
You're stretching it out there like... Stretching it out like...
And then putting your hot body on it. You know, like a sausage roll rolling around, all the creases coming out of it. You're just... That's what all human beings are. Like large sausage rolls rolling around their beds, isn't it? You know,
I'm going to take it then that you're one of the non-ironing variety.
100%, yeah. 100%. I'm also one of those people, though, that, you know, the fitted sheet, for some reason, and I can't figure it out, every single blooming night, one corner pops off. The same corner. I don't know what
have you considered that your sheet is too small?
Well, that's not the point. Like,
you need to get your sheet together. You really do.
I really do need to get my sheet together. In an awful lot of ways, I do. I need to iron out my problems in a big way.
Oh man.
Yeah, I do.
So well, it must be. I mean, obviously you're not. Either you're not pulling it down enough.
No, I am.
Or it's
I'm
too
really
small for your mattress.
But sure, surely you don't. How would you know what to buy then?
What size is your mattress?
I don't know. Large, like for a man.
Is that the way you've got it? How are you doing? Like a man-sized mattress, please.
Yeah, yeah. It's a mattress for an adult, yeah.
Well, how big would you like? Big enough for me. I don't, whatever I am.
Yeah,
but that, and a bit wider just in case I roll around. Because I'm a bit like a sausage roll when I'm in bed. Absolutely bizarre.
I don't know how big the bed is. You're supposed to have dimensions now and everything just to buy a sheet.
You know what I mean? There's double and there's king size and queen size and all that. Yeah, so you need to get your sheet to match.
I don't know what one it is.
It's not like a one sheet fits all situation. Or maybe it is. Maybe you can get them.
Yeah, one sheet fits all.
Maybe you can.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. But then there'll be a lot of tucking. There's nothing I hate more than tucking. You know, you go to a hotel and they have some real professional tuckers in hotels.
Those tuckers are top class.
Greatest shower of tuckers I ever met were people in hotels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to say the way they put
without
it in.
A shadow.
You get into the bed and you have to, you're trying to kick the thing out. Yeah, you pull a muscle like. Trying to kick one side out of the bed.
I know, exactly, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're pinned down.
They should do that when you're in the bed. Wouldn't it be great to ring down and say, can you send up a tucker and tuck me in? I'd love that.
Yeah, but you have to be sure. You'd never get out the next morning.
Yeah.
You'd have to have your mobile or something to ring them to come back and get you out.
Yeah, you have to get, can you send the tucker back? He took me in so well, I'm like a sausage roll.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There are some people who just seem to have bad luck follow them around.
Some people do. I've got a friend, I told you about him before. If anything was going to happen bad to anyone, it's going to happen to him.
It's going to happen to him. And the thing about it is, they don't have to be sort of like, we assume they're, you know, ordinary people whose, you know, day-to-day ordinary lives are blighted by bad luck.
Yeah.
But sometimes they can be quite high-profile people.
Yeah, Gaza is one of those people. Paul Gascoigne, and he's in trouble again.
Right.
Again he's in trouble.
He does bring a lot of it on himself.
He
now.
Does, yeah. He really, really does. But they were doing this thing for Rangers. I think it was a 150 years of Rangers, even though Rangers is about 3 years old after they went bust. Anyway, long story short, they were doing this thing for Rangers and he was out warming up a Legends game. Luis Figo was playing for the rest of the world team
So
it was quite a high profile event for Ibrox, whatever. He was out there warming up and you see, there's a video going around of it. He calls a kid forward to come out onto the pitch.
Right.
And then the kid comes out and he trips him up and really hurts the kid. The kid gets winded and he can't get up off the ground.
He deliberately
trips up the kid. The kid fell down and the kid got winded and was like rolling around with his knees up around his stomach.
Oh my God.
And he couldn't get up. And Gaza doesn't even go over to the kid. He just keeps playing the football. So he's been lambasted online over the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And now they've come out, Rangers have come out, and Gaza's agent has come out and says, now listen, that's my son. And they're actually good friends. And they're always pranking each other.
He didn't
mean to hurt him.
Taking the heat off.
But it's, they're trying to take the heat off him. But it's too late.
Everything that man touched. I know he's had his troubles. In fairness, he struggled with alcoholism and all that sort of stuff or whatever. But he's had, even before all of that.
But he's an idiot.
He had his troubles.
He's an
idiot. Remember the time he was getting death threats?
From the IRA.
From the IRA.
Because Ali McCoy's told him, he said, what do I do if I score a goal here in Rangers? And he says, pretend you're playing the flute and run around. Basically doing an Orange Man thing.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, sure, that he'd never do that. That's stupid. But Gaza didn't know the significance of it. So he scores a goal, runs around like he's playing the flute. And next thing, he gets a message in the door saying, the IRA are after him.
And then what did you say? He went to the police about it.
He went to the police and he says, the IRA are after me. And the police says, that wouldn't be a serious threat. And then he showed them the threat. And they went, oh God, it is actually a serious threat. And they sent him off with a stick, with a mirror at the end of it. And he says, just check there's no bombs under your car when you pull off. And sent him on his way on his own.
That's very reassuring, isn't it?
Very reassuring,
Oh my God. And then there was that time, I think it was during one of his dark spells that did he show up here in Ireland once?
Oh, this sounds familiar, yeah.
He was meant to be fishing or something, but surely all he had was a rod. He'd no bait or anything, and a bag of cans or something.
Oh, no, that was Rel Moat. It was this guy.
Where was that?
It was. Oh, I think it was in. It was in England.
Was it in England? Oh, I thought it was here.
No, it was Rel Moat. This guy, he hijacked something or he shot someone or something, and Gaza thought he'd sort the whole thing out with a fishing rod and a sack of cans. He's as wild.
I mean, I know the poor man has struggled with, you know, with the dark times in his life, but my God.
And it was live on Sky News. There was a guy on Sky News.
It does seem to attract it.
I'll never forget watching it live on Sky News, and your man's there going, Rel Moat has now, he's got a gun, and he's the police are surrounding the area, and news just in, Paul Gascoigne has arrived with a bag of cans and a fishing rod. And they interviewed him, and he was like, oh, yeah, I know him. Moti. He was called the Moti. Do you remember? He's there, Moti. Yeah, he's there.
He was going to. He was like. He was being like a hostage negotiator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like, yeah, Moti. You know. He was thought he was going to cut. He really gets into some trouble. Seriously,
in fact, one of the few people who could actually challenge him is your mate. Well, I know we won't say his name or whatever, but
no,
because he has a career in his own right.
Yeah,
but he is
the unluckiest.
Without
man.
A shadow of a doubt, the unluckiest. Yeah. I mean, even the most recent thing.
Yeah, he had to fly back. He got a job like, and he talks like this. He has a voice like this, a very Jake Stevens type of voice. Hell, no way! And he flew back. He's been locked up in Australia in lockdowns.
Yeah, because he flew to Australia and literally Australia went into full-blown lockdown when he arrived.
Yeah, and he bought himself...
He's an Irish guy, by the way.
Yeah, and he bought loads of Irish whiskey for himself when he got there, and they took it all off him because you're not allowed to have it in the COVID hold, lock up there. And they took it off, and then he finally gets out of Australia. He's been in lockdown over there for ages.
For two years.
2 years, yeah. Never worked a day. He finally gets a job in Belfast, flew over... And he got COVID on the plane and now he's locked up again. He's like, you can't catch a break. You can't catch a break. He was doing a gig with me.
Isn't this the same guy who was out for dinner with a group of other people you knew? He bought the dinner for everybody, didn't he? Wasn't he paying?
He took everyone out for dinner. Him and his girlfriend went out.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine and her fella, they went out, right? And they were all out together and he organised, it's all on me, get whatever you want. And your man got a bit jarred and he fell asleep at the table and he woke up and he thought that he was then chatting up his missus and he punched him in the face across the dinner table. And he's like, what did you do that for, horse? And then his girlfriend says, I can't believe you're getting into a fight in the restaurant, took off her engagement ring and threw it at him.
And he was paying and
I can't get anything right. It's the same fella that when he was getting a clamp on his car in Blanchardstown Station. He was in Blanchardstown and the clampers turned up and he says, oh yeah, I don't have a credit card. He doesn't have a credit card. He only had cash. And they says, if you leave the car, we're going to clamp you. And he goes, please, I need to do a poo. I have some humanity. Please. He only stopped to go to the toilet. And the clampers went, if you leave it. And he just had to look the clamper in the eye and go to the toilet and stroll it. He said, oh, I can't believe this. And then the clampers were like, you're disgusting. They just drove off thinking he was the weirdo.
Duncan was on to say he must be unlucky. In fairness, he's PJ's mate.
You're not wrong.
We didn't even get the story. And it's one of my favourite ones about that same fella who, remember when he showed up late for one of the shows?
Oh, yeah.
And the reason he showed up
late. I was there with the crew. We were working in the venue. And I says, oh, the guy that's on tonight, I swear to God, he's the most unlucky fella. I was telling them all about him, saying, this fella never, I've never met him once, I says, without him saying, there was something that had gone wrong or some disaster had befallen him.
Yeah.
And he walks in just after we had this conversation. He goes, you're not going to believe what happened. A horse stood on my notes for the show. He dropped his notes on Thomas Street. The horse stood in them. He couldn't get the horse off his jokes.
A horse.
A horse.
Oh, seriously, horse.
Yeah, please, horse. I have to do a gig.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
If you're a driver of any sort, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the things you had to do, in theory at least, was know the rules of the road.
Yeah, theoretically speaking.
Exactly. So the rules of the road are the rules of the road. They're the laws and stuff that govern it. But then aside from that, there is also... You know, the etiquette.
Just a real world situation they can't plan for, yeah.
When you let somebody else, you know, maybe at a junction or what. You know, there's the etiquette of...
All of that, yeah.
This may not be a rule, but you know what I mean? It's a sort of a taken as kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And I have a question for you then, okay?
Right.
So, a funeral. What's the appropriate way to drive around a funeral, right? You know the way you see...
drive around a funeral.
Well, to drive, yeah, you know the way. So say, you know, if you're... You see a funeral coming and you're about to pull out onto a road, right?
Right, okay.
Is it okay? And I genuinely want to know an answer to this. Is it okay to just pull out in front of the funeral real quick so you head off and not get held up by them?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing worse than, you know, they're going, or maybe there's people walking in front of the car and I'm just driving. You'd be stuck behind for ages. You can't beep or anything, you know, obviously. Yeah. Is that okay? Or is it okay if you're stuck behind it? Is it actually okay if you can safely overtake at speed to go past? Because that feels to me, I don't know if people be like, oh my God.
Just the disrespectful.
You know, all that. And Is it also okay if you say, right, I'll just sit in me place, but then you looks like you're a part of the funeral,
yeah,
and you're not dressed appropriately?
What happens, right? Say it's a long journey to a the graveyard or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they have to go through traffic lights
and they get
separated and then you pull out into it. So you've got, you know, a part of it in front of you and a part of it behind you.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and they're all in, say, you know, appropriate funeral attire, and you're sitting there wearing a t-shirt that says something that it shouldn't say, and
wearing a belly top and a pair of sunglasses or something, you know.
Yeah, and people are looking, going, "Is he part?"
He's going,
"Is he part of the?"
People start making up rumours then about the poor person in the box. Because, well, I never knew George was hanging out with the like of him. You know, all this stuff that's happening.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because it is a weird one. I suppose, like, you know.
I don't know what the right wrongs are. It's a very unique
situation either way, because, I mean, like, if it was on a motorway, surely to God you could move into another lane and go by it.
Surely a hearse isn't allowed in the motorway, is there? That'd be some crack, wouldn't it?
Well, okay, a dual carriageway then.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know something? Play by your own rules, actually. I don't know.
Boy, have you ever overtaken it?
No, but I'll tell you what my ma did. Right? When my father died, right?
Right.
You know the way they have the hearse and then there's a family car behind it? You know, the black sort of stretch car, whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, my ma goes, right?
Mourning cars or whatever they're called.
When my ma took over the funeral and all, right? She was in the middle of the church now. She says, I'm going to get up and say a few words. And I says, don't be doing that. And she goes, I'm going to get a few words, she says. And she stood up and she starts going, she didn't make a lot of sense. She was like going, Daddy died and he's dead and Daddy died and oh, Daddy's gone and Daddy's dead and oh, poor Daddy, right? All this.
Right.
And then we came out of the church, right?
Right.
And she was still going, Daddy's in the box, all this. And they says, here's your car. And she goes, no, I'm getting in the front car with Daddy. She goes, right. She jumped into the passenger seat of the hearse.
Are you serious? Beside the driver?
Yeah, and she was sitting beside the driver in the hearse. And the driver in the hearse goes, you're not supposed to be here. She goes, ah, Daddy's died and he's dead. And then she goes, I want you to drive past the houses we used to live in and all. She goes, right.
Well, all of them?
Yeah. Now, so it was about, this was a 5-minute journey.
You normally do the one, you know, like where you, like you're living at the time. Well, yeah. I didn't know you were allowed to go like past all your previous gaffes.
Oh, listen, this was mad. We were in the funeral home in Fairview, right? And a straight run to the church in Clontarf. Straight run, five minutes.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I want to go past the house. I'm driving around Morlino. Everybody getting lost in the roundabouts and everything. People are getting lost and all. And your man then says, told me mother he was a Protestant. She goes, I can't believe a Protestant's bringing Daddy to this. And all this was happening. That was great crack. He was a deadly. And she was having a laugh with him.
Yeah.
And then, they all went, everybody got lost and shit. They were all stopping at the lights. Grannies and aunties got missing in Marino. They're probably still in there in the roundabouts. And then had to go past the other house. And then she wanted to go past the church they got married in.
Oh my God.
Vincent's there in Marino.
How long did it take? Where'd you end up? There was probably a change in different sides of the city and everything.
I'd say there was people didn't know what was going on. I have to say to her, she makes her own rules. Like,
fair play. It must have been amazing. Yeah. Must have been like people must have been joining it, thinking it was some sort of like, I don't know, protest.
Yeah, yeah. There goes, finally, someone's doing something about the price of petrol.
Well, some of the responses we had this from Miriam saying, "Just feckin' wait."
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
but you could be waiting a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know?
Eddie says, if a hearse was passing, I usually just stop the car until the funeral passes. I think most people do that out of a sign of respect.
Oh, yeah, that's
all right if it's kind of passing by you.
Yeah.
And you're going in a different direction. But if you have to follow us, we're saying.
Yeah.
Or do you try and nip out ahead of it?
Try and nip out ahead.
And just not. Hopefully get not noticed.
Yeah, or do you whatever. Beep and then say it was a sign of solidarity?
Well, there you go, you know? Because like Alan has been on to say also, like what's the etiquette for the hearse driver? Is he allowed beep at his mates and shout out the window?
Oh, yeah, imagine that. Imagine that. Hey, right. Pat. Yeah, no, I've just had to drop this off. I'll call up to you at 12.
That's what I'm saying.
Imagine, yeah.
Just drop this off.
Yeah, just have to drop this off, yeah.
I've one more drop and then I'll meet you, yeah?
Yeah.
Brand.
No, it's a light day. Yeah, no. Yeah. There was supposed to be a few more, but they only dug the one hole. I'll talk to you later.
Kevin, the talk was on to say, it depends. If it's miles away, then overtake.
Yeah.
If miles away, then overtake if short wait. But if overtaking beep horn and bless yourself.
Oh, jeepers, you couldn't do that. You'd be mortified. You'd make a show of your family doing that.
I mean, he's not the only one who said about the old blessing yourself or doing any of that. This is certainly a very different approach now coming in from Oz, saying drop a gear and hang on. Fly by on the back wheel. So he's going to pull wheelies right up.
Imagine
the side.
That would be the rudest thing you could ever do, is do a wheelie next to a funeral, really, isn't it?
Usher's been on as well to say my granddad's hearse drove straight past the house he lived in and stopped at his local pub in Fingers.
You see, that's a thing. That's like what my ma was making them do. Yeah.
You see, there's the thing. That's the thing. To be fair, that's more, you know, it was probably like a second home for the man.
Yeah. You know when the old lads die sometimes and they put a plaque over the stool they used to sit in the pub?
I've seen that.
And then you go to the funeral, like, right?
Yeah.
And the priest would be going on about things he never did. You know, he used to love fishing and he spent so much time with his family.
Yeah, and it becomes so obvious that he's never been in that church in his life.
He's never been.
Your man's never set eyes on him.
He was a man of God and love. And
he never stopped giving out about the church.
He never goes, he used to drink all day long, pouring jar after jar.
He was rarely sober, but still, you know.
Some would call him a bit of a character.
That's
about the most.
Had quite the tongue in him. An amazing array of swear words he had.
And I was at a funeral once, and the priest, honest to God, it was a woman's funeral. He said, in space, a person must wear a spacesuit. And when you're diving in the sea, you must wear a diving suit. And this is just her earth suit, meaning the body, like.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I was like, this is the most bizarre way of describing everything. I was like, but an earth suit. I never thought of myself having an earth suit before.
Brilliant. Yeah. Also, Anise has been on, by the way. You know the way you were saying she'd never see a hearse in the motorway?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, according to Anisha, Jim, there are hearses on motorways.
Really?
Yeah, she says, which I only learned recently while driving up and down the M1. I kid you not, I was in the fast lane. I was in the fast lane as quickly and as carefully as I could when I saw it. I did salute the remains when I passed them, though.
Salute them?
Salute them, yeah.
Yeah.
So that must be like an, I don't know,
like sort of blessing yourself or something.
Or like
that.
What you do when you see a magpie or something.
Yeah, isn't that gas? Like, I've never blessed myself when a funeral I pass, but I'll always salute a magpie. It's like there's something about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just on this as well, Antoine Swords has been on, just in relation to the etiquette. He said, lad, it's not all right to overtake a funeral.
Right, okay.
But it is all right to undertake a funeral. This has just come in from Sinead saying that at my mother's funeral, we had to travel to Galway from Kildare, right?
Right, yeah,
and
bit
it was
of a
during
hike.
COVID times.
Oh, well,
so
yeah.
As a result, the only people travelling were the immediate family
and
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And said we pulled into a Rosscrea petrol station and we were there leaning against the hearse eating ice creams. She would have laughed, but the onlookers thought it was weird.
Yeah, they would, wouldn't they?
Hanging out at a petrol station with a hearse.
Yeah, just bought it as a family car. You can fit the dogs and all in the back of it, no problem.
Also, look at this. I'm assuming this is a joke, but you never know. Nace has been on from Lucan to say, my work colleague Derek has just informed me that the morning car can use the bus lanes.
Oh, can it? I didn't know that.
But not the hearse.
That's a bit mad.
Because there's not enough people in the hearse.
Is that true?
I don't know.
That's ludicrous.
That thing about carpooling, you're allowed maybe if you can carpool.
Surely the person in the box still deserves to be a person.
Doesn't even get a go in the bus lane. There's not enough of them.
Imagine your last...
Only him and the driver.
The last drive you ever get on, they still won't let you in the bus lane without giving you points.
That's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, this has just come in from Joan to say, lads, my auntie died about 15 years ago and when we left the church, we walked up behind the hearse and we got there and the grave wasn't dug.
Oh, you're joking.
We all had to leave and come back a few hours later.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't make it up.
Couldn't make it up. What do you do? Like,
Where's the hole? Oh, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we dug a hole. We dug a different hole. We might put it in the wrong place or something.
That is mad. And then this has come in from Sarah to say, morning lads, the best funeral That I was even saying that. The best funeral.
I know, but we do them well.
We do them well. Best funeral, I was asked. The priest during the Mass said that someone else's Mass was later that evening and all were welcome. You don't even know the person.
That's amazing. Yeah. The next Mass is a man who is very unpopular. And we'd appreciate if you held on.
But didn't stop there. And then followed that by, it'll be followed by bingo, which should be great crack, so be sure to come. He obviously just saw literally the opportunity. I've got a captive audience
here.
Yeah,
he's there, great.
I can plug ahead to the later Mass and the bingo this evening.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, I can plug the bingo. Hopefully a few of these people won't be into the soup and sandwiches. They'll hang on and try and win themselves a porcelain leopard.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
We are going to discuss the theatre. Of which, of course, you are. I mean, you're a fully qualified thespian.
Well, yeah, I've written plays.
A trained thespian.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Of course, not only an actor, but a playwright.
Indeed, yeah.
I mean, so you're very well placed to comment on this. We don't often discuss the theatre.
We don't often discuss the theatre. Not nearly enough. We don't bring the arts into it.
And we should.
And there's been awful trouble in the Royal Theatre of York over yonder, across the water there. As You Like It, it's a Shakespeare play.
I am aware of it. I think I did it for my... what would now be called junior cert.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Me inter, back in the day.
No, but inter, yeah, it was inter when I did it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I wasn't really good at it.
As You Like It.
As You Like It. So this play, As You Like It, was on in York Theatre, right?
Yeah.
And they were on there, it was their first night. Everything was going to plan. The production was, of course, in full flow. The opening, the early practice nights were out of the way.
Yeah.
Can't remember what they're called.
Dress rehearsals, maybe.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
We're out of the way.
Must do a practice night.
A practice night? Oh my God, he's meeting for training. Might you say that's to theatre?
Yeah.
Well, you're meeting for training, yeah?
Training on Tuesday, right?
Really?
Yeah. Then a practice night on the Saturday, and then we'll do it on Sunday, yeah?
Yeah, don't forget your costumes.
Yeah, make sure your costumes are washed as well.
So they all met up, and the opening night, it was all going well, and one member of the audience stormed out in an awful huff and demanded that he get his money back at the reception.
Wow.
And they didn't give him the money back because they think it's the most ludicrous complaint they've ever had in theatre. And his argument was they were all speaking in Yorkshire accents in Yorkshire. And he was there, it's disgraceful.
Oh, Yorkshire people talking with Yorkshire accents.
Yeah, and he was there.
What an outrage.
He was there, this is outrageous. Like, he's there going, I didn't pay in to have people go, to be or not to be? That's the question. I don't even know if that's an Yorkshire accent.
I was just going to say, is that a Yorkshire accent?
Yeah.
Actually, we should ask John, what's a Yorkshire accent? It's not that, he's just said.
I can't do it. Well, I can't do it.
I don't know. I have no idea what a Yorkshire accent. But that was his problem. So his problem was, it was Shakespeare,
yeah,
which most people think of kind of as being, you know,
very RP,
you know, forsooth and all that kind of carry
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right, and he didn't appreciate it because it was in a sort of a local dialect.
Yeah, and he's been lambasted that people have spoken a Yorkshire accent in the Yorkshire theatre. But I think he has a point. I support this guy, to be honest
really?
With you. I do. Imagine Hamlet was on. Or Macbeth, say, was on in the Abbey, right? And you went in, and there was a fella, and he's got someone goes, by the pricking of me thumb, something wicked this way come. Get up, Elva.
Yeah.
You know, you
it would be... Yeah,
it's a different show.
It'd be a unique interpretation of it, I grant you that.
Yeah. Is that not nicer than a rose, says he?
And then, I suppose, if you took it around the country then...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you'd be all over the place. You'd drop down to Cork.
Down to Cork, yeah, yeah. You're on here, Lingo. Let the nunnery come for thee. Romeo, Romeo. Where far out thou, Romeo? He's up on Panna.
It could make it interesting.
Yeah, it'd make it interesting, but it's something weird about it.
I know, yeah, yeah. It's a hard one to call because...
I think
you know
there's...
I mean, people will say that, you know, it's all, you know, it is Yorkshire. They're in Yorkshire. They're speaking the way, you know, natively.
Yeah.
But is that the way the play was written?
It's not written that way at all. It's not at all written that way.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be great to see for the crack.
Isn't him... because like say Othello, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one of the main features? Othello is a Moor. It's like from
Morocco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like so with a Yorkshire accent.
Yeah, with a Yorkshire accent. And like, it wouldn't work the other way either. It would be just as ludicrous the other way. So imagine they had a new gangster in Fair City, say, right?
Right, yeah.
And he was there. There was going to be an assassination or something. And then he walks in and just goes, "Hello, what do you think of my Dublin accent?" You know, right, yeah, you'd be like, "This is ridiculous." You know,
I get it. Yeah.
"I want you to pop a cap in his ass and leave the body in the boot of my car." You know, it just doesn't work.
I have to say, though, I think we've created a demand. I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, people are saying they'd be well into the idea of like a Dublin Shakespeare.
Oh God, I went to a play in Dublin once, right? And it was a local theatre group. It was brilliant crack. And there was a shooting scene in the end, right?
Yeah.
And your man took out the gun, and they were supposed to have a shooting sound effect.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. So he was stood there with the gun in the air for ages. And then he put it back in his holster and he pulled it out again. And then he just went, himself, he just went, bang! And your man fell down. And then he went to speak. And the gunshot went, bang!
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
There you go, some of the best bits from during the week on Morning Glory. I'm thinking about, because we were talking earlier on about the whole, you know, letting ourselves go.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever, I've been letting myself go since, I don't know, about when I was 22. But you, in the last few months, you've decided to kind of like, you know,
I've been on
take it a bit easier on yourself. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah, but I've taken it far too easy.
But I'm wondering, what do you think will be the spark to get going again? Do you think you will get going again? Or have you decided, this is me till retirement?
I don't know. What I think might happen is, you know, we keep saying, we'll start next week.
Yeah.
I'll probably go, I'll start next year. And then it might be, I'll start in my 50s.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real danger of it going that way, you know.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know. Something really drastic would have to knock me back into shape now. Like, I'd have to fart and blow up a room or something. Like, I'd have to really, like, you know, I'd have to cause some sort of trouble or have a cardiac arrest or something at this stage.
Because isn't that mad? Because you know the way, like, kind of people talk about having to be healthy so to avoid nasty things happening.
In the future, yeah.
Yeah, as you get on, like, you don't want to be having, like, you know, whatever high blood pressure might be or diabetes or whatever people try to avoid, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And it's like, but especially for blokes, it's very difficult to sort of, you know, to take preventative measures. It nearly has to, you have to be landed in it before you go, oh Jesus, I better sort something out here.
That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, because men are eternally optimistic about their own bodies, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you could be smoking 700 cigarettes a day for 70 years and drinking a half bottle of whiskey every morning. And you'd still be there going, no, I definitely will give it up now one of these days. Definitely. No, I'll tell you what, I'll cut back. Or you know, men will do that thing where they'll go, I gave up the whiskey there, I gave it up, no, it was killing me, it was. So I'll have the one bottle of rum now. And the coconut. Yeah. It's easier, it's better for you.
I honest to God, right, there was a lad in our local pub, all right, and I think he had a bit of an issue with his ticker or something. He had to go in and get something checked out.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. I don't know if he had a procedure done or whatever the hell it was. But he was off the drink, right?
Yeah.
But off the drink, he's a Guinness drinker, right? And a fine Guinness drinker, a man who could certainly take care of quite a lot of it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And so he went off the drink and instead just drank McArdle's.
That was his cutting back.
He went, by being off the drink, he stopped drinking pints of Guinness and just drank large bottles of McArdle's.
He thought it was like fruit juice. Oh, God.
That's fantastic. That's a uniquely male perspective.
It's incredible. That's why when Ozzy Osbourne went to the Betty Ford Clinic first, he tells the story that he went in and they said, so there's your bedroom. There's the telly. Oh, yeah, Grant, have you any questions? He goes, yeah, where's the bar? He says, and they went, there's no bar.
It's an addiction clinic.
And he goes, I didn't think that's what it was. He said, I thought that's where you went to learn how to drink properly, he said. So he thought they were going
training course.
Yeah, they were going to teach him how to drink. That his problem was, wasn't that he was drinking, it was that he was doing it all wrong. Like he was doing it on an empty stomach or something. He couldn't figure it out. And then he thought they were going to just teach him the right way to do it.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. brilliant stuff. Right, come here, we'll leave you to it, folks. Go and get on with your own lives.
Yeah, I'm going to have a Twix.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.